I'd like now to introduce Mark Rudd. He is the author of the book Underground, My Life with SDS and the Weathermen. And he will be speaking on Friday, April 3rd from 5:30 to 7, doing a reading and book signing at El Museo Cultural in Santa Fe. And then at 7 o'clock, there will be a showing of the film, the documentary film Weather Underground. And then at 8:30, a discussion. Welcome, Mark Rudd, to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte, and thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure, and reading the book is a great pleasure. You grew up, let's just sort of start at the beginning. You grew up, in your own words, a kind of nerdy middle-class Jewish boy from the suburbs of New Jersey. You went to Columbia University in 1965, and you found yourself joining the protest movements there and quickly taking leadership. What were the issues that pulled you in?
Well, actually, it was the war in Vietnam and also the university's racist expansion. But let me just say, I didn't quickly take leadership. I spent 3 years as just a member of the SDS chapter, trying to organize, learning how to organize.
And what was that process like? Because, I mean, maybe I just read it quickly, but it seemed that it was such an amazing transition from you being a somewhat introspective person to being somebody who was standing in front of crowds, really getting people riled up. I know,
even I was amazed by myself, actually. Well, you know, it was a moment in history. I'm talking about the 3 years from 65 to 68, but it all kind of built to a crescendo in April of 68, in the spring of 1968. First of all, when I got to Columbia, I knew almost nothing at all about the war in Vietnam. I had just registered for the draft. I turned 18 in June. I didn't think anything of it. I went down and registered for the draft. All boys who turned 18 would register for the draft. I did it. However, I got to Columbia as a freshman, and I found there were all these really interesting people, really, you know, kind of vital, passionate, alive people who were organizing against the war, and I fell in with them. They became my crowd, you know, and I was kind of a loner in high school, and I kind of fell into this thing. And it was exciting. These people were talking as if they were going to transform the world.
And it was such an interesting moment in history because that feeling was very strong in the hearts of so many people that they really were going to transform the world. The cynicism that we saw later hadn't happened yet.
No. It was definitely a utopian moment. By moment, what I mean, a series of years. You know, first of all, it was a big shock to realize what our country was doing in Vietnam. I mean, we were murdering, later it came out, millions of people. And this put us, I mean, for a kid who grew up in the shadow of World War II, I mean, it was a major shock because the United States always fought for the right. I mean, we defeated fascism, and we know that that was the murder of millions. And then suddenly I wake up and I'm looking at this war in Vietnam, and our country is doing this thing. Major shock.
This is a kind of an aside, but I thought it was a fascinating little story about how right at the beginning of freshman year, you had the kind of identity crisis that a lot of people have, and you went to the school counselor, and they put you in really old-fashioned, I guess that's what there was then, Freudian psychoanalysis.
Yeah, well, that's what was happening in New York, Freudian psychoanalysis. The drugs hadn't been invented, the
right.
Antidepressants. But, That was the intellectual thing, and especially if you had money to do in New York at the time, go into psychoanalysis. And I found myself in psychoanalysis on the Upper East Side, and on alternate days I'd be tutoring a little boy in Harlem. And the whole cognitive dissonance of it, you know, the contradiction between me and the shrink and going to the shrink and then this world that was beginning to open up to me that I was starting to see, it was just too much. I finally said goodbye to the shrink. Although he helped me later on by helping me get out of the draft.
That was the same shrink. Interesting.
Same shrink. And not only that, but he wrote a great book called Radical and Militant Youth, in which he analyzed the participants at Columbia. He was also the head of the counseling service at Columbia. He wrote a really good book. His name was Robert Liebert, and that book is still around. Well, that's my parrot. Do you hear my parrot?
Oh, indeed. That's great. So what were the actions that you and the people in SDS, Students for Democratic Society, did to draw attention to the war and issues of race and class and university policy?
Well, for the most part, it had to do with education. Teach-ins, showing films on Vietnam, discussions, what is Vietnam about, knocking on doors in dormitories, things that are kind of fundamental to organizing, you know, getting to know people and trying to get across some notion of what the war is about and how important it might be to each individual. I might add, Columbia being right smack up against Harlem, we were also very conscious of racism in society and the split between white and black. I mean, Columbia at that time was a mostly white university. So there was a lot of this educational work, but then there was also a growing sense of confrontation with the administration over issues like the university's participation in the war in the form of recruitment for the Marines or research. So over the course of those years, there was more and more confrontation, and it all came to a head, though, in the spring of 68.
You ended up in the midst of this giant occupation of many buildings in Columbia that was finally busted up by the police in a very violent way, and the purpose of it was in part to get Columbia to stop participating in this kind of secretive weapons research and development that they were part of a multi-university military consortium that you guys kind of pretty much discovered.
It had really been kept secret for the most part. That was one of the issues, yes.
So all of this great disruption and great learning and people getting hurt and people, you were finally expelled from school. Did it have any positive effect? In other words, did it accomplish anything toward the ends that you were seeking?
Oh, absolutely. I think Columbia was a great success from the point of view of the further radicalization of people. I mean, our goal as anti-war and anti-racism organizers was to grow the movement, to get more and more people involved. We started out as a fairly small core, maybe 75 people active, and by the time the dust settled months later, there were thousands of people who had become involved. So, no, Columbia became almost a model for militant student protest, and it was kind of a milestone in the development of the student anti-war movement and of SDS itself.
Did they withdraw from their participation in weapons research?
Actually, they did. But I'm sure it was only in some nominal way because there are other ways to hide it. All universities, research universities, get defense money. I mean, UNM does. It's just part of the deal. Some people have called it the military-industrial academic complex.
Right. We're talking to Mark Rudd, author of the book Underground, My Life with SDS and the Weathermen.